west at 7 miles an hour. The dew point is at 35, the relative humidity 54%, and the barometric pressure is, it's falling at 30.35. It's 12 minutes after 10 o'clock on this day after Election Day. We are awaiting Secretary Hillary Clinton's concession speech, something that earmarked her husband's presidency was lateness. She was supposed to take the stage 9:30 local time, but still has not done so. This gives us an opportunity to bring back to community conversations the Democratic leader of the Wisconsin State Assembly. Please welcome back Leader Peter Barka. Good morning, Mr. Leader.
Plain Black, good to be with you under very surprising, startling, you might even say shocking results last night.
It is shocking. It is absolutely shocking. And I would say, although I have a varied amount of friends on all sides of the political spectrum, I have a huge amount of Democrats and liberals that are friends, and they are absolutely beside themselves this morning. People in tears, people on the verge of some major depression. What would you say to those folks this morning?
Well, I would say that it's understandable why they would be so shocked and concerned, because obviously the rhetoric of this campaign was something we've never heard before. I mean, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the U.S. House, after one of Trump's pronouncements in regard to Judge Curiel, said it's a classic definition of a racist. I mean, so we've never had anybody elected with that kind of a cloud over them before. So we can only pray to the good Lord that, perhaps he'll rise to the occasion. But obviously it's a painful time for people who are Democrats. I think of my friend Russ Feingold, who his own personal tracking poll showed him 4 points ahead with, 4 or 5 days before the election, expecting to win that night, and ends up losing by 7 points. That's an 11-point swing. That's just unbelievable. I don't think anybody saw this kind of a Trump wave coming.
You know, I saw a former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell last week on the news, and he talked about what used to happen in Philadelphia all the time. There was an undervote of Frank Rizzo because people just did not want to admit, even to perfect strangers in polls, that they would vote for Frank Rizzo, but they did. So they always added 3 or 4 percentage points to Rizzo's total, at least behind the scenes. And it seems like there was an undervote for Donald Trump this time.
Well, there obviously was an undervote. There's no question about it. In fact, the other thing I saw that was fascinating this morning was Larry Sabato from University of Virginia, one of the polling experts of the country. He said, the students are going to have to give him an F. He said, but he's not the only one that would get an F. He said the whole polling firms would, because in fact, he said that the tracking polls, when people left the poll after voting, showed her winning in all these swing states. So people obviously left the polling, and either they didn't tell the truth to the polling people, or they walked around them, and therefore they were not counted properly. But, perhaps there is something to this, what Randall is saying. But regardless, obviously, I don't think anybody saw this kind of a Trump wave, and it's very disconcerting to so many people. And, we just have to, hope and pray that, Donald Trump will rise to the occasion, because obviously he is really not prepared himself in any significant way to become president of the United States, in the sense of, he's never been a U.S. general and never been, in the political field to speak of. So he really just, the ways of government are very different than the ways of business. And even though certainly business skills, I ran a company myself and a couple other organizations, and it's a rude awakening sometimes when you get to government. I mean, he's had his own battles within his own party with Speaker Paul Ryan, with other key Republicans, the Bushes and Governor Kasich, and all of whom obviously had some very different feelings. So it's going to be a very interesting period in America going forward to see how that all gets reconciled. But, people do rise to the occasion, and I guess on a hopeful note, I'm going to pray to the good Lord that happens with Mr. Trump.
What if a person's an atheist? What are they supposed to do?
Well, yeah, good point, Glenn. I guess they're in a whole different situation.
He was a very successful game show host, Donald Trump.
Yes, he was. I mean, and that showed through. I mean, there's no question. The guy has incredible marketing skills. He really has an ability to put his finger on the pulse of what people are thinking and to be able to weave his message to address that. But that's a different skill set than actually leading a country.
All right, can you hold on, Leader Barca? We've got Paul Ryan that's going to speak
that.
First.
Yeah, you want to put him on?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and just hold on. We'll get your comments after.
Yeah. Okay, good.
President-elect Donald Trump, and I congratulated him on his great victory. We talked about the work ahead of us and the importance of bringing this country together. Let me just say, this is the most incredible political feat I have seen in my lifetime. This is something you've heard me say time and again. 7 out of 10 Americans, they do not like the direction our country is going. Many of our fellow citizens feel alienated and have lost faith in our core institutions. They don't feel heard, and they don't feel represented by those in office. But Donald Trump heard a voice out in this country that no one else heard. He connected in ways with people no one else did. He turned politics on its head. And now, Donald Trump will lead a unified Republican government. And we will work hand in hand on a positive agenda to tackle this country's big challenges. I want to congratulate my friend Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a good man, a principled conservative, and he will make a great vice president. I want to congratulate Reince Priebus. You need to know how proud we are in Wisconsin of Reince Priebus. What he has done to rebuild our party is remarkable. I want to congratulate Mitch McConnell and our Republican colleagues in the Senate. I want to congratulate Ron Johnson, something that we worked so hard here at home on his victory. Ron, Scott Walker, and I just spent 4 days on a bus in Wisconsin crisscrossing this state, urging all Republicans to come together to unify to win, and that's exactly what happened. It was close quarters at time, and it was worth it to get Ron back in the next 6 years. Of course, I'm immensely proud of the campaign that our House members and our candidates ran. I want to congratulate Greg Walden and the team at the NRCC and our entire House leadership team. What a phenomenal job. Look at it this way. Our House majority is bigger than expected. We won more seats than anyone expected, and much of that is thanks to Donald Trump. Donald Trump provided the kind of coattails that got a lot of people over the finish line so that we could maintain our strong House and Senate majorities. Now we have important work to do. Many months ago, Republicans in the House united around a bold, specific agenda for this country. It offers a better way forward for America, and it will help us hit the ground running as we work with Donald Trump to do this. We will honor the timeless principles that our country was founded on: liberty, freedom, free enterprise, consent of the governed. And we will apply those principles to the problems of the day. This is the kind of unified Republican government that we set out to deliver. I want to close with this. There is no doubt our democracy can be very messy, and we do remain a sharply divided country. But now, as we do every 4 years, we have to work to heal the divisions of a long campaign. I think President-elect Donald Trump set the perfect tone last night for doing just this. And I know President Obama and Secretary Clinton are committed to bringing the country together. This needs to be a time of redemption, not a time of recrimination. We all need to rededicate ourselves to making America great and making it a more perfect union. With that, let me take your questions. Kelly O.
That's Speaker Paul Ryan in Janesville this morning with his comments after the surprising, shocking victory by President-elect Donald Trump last night. And we're speaking on WRJN with the Democratic leader from the State Assembly, Peter Barca. What were your thoughts, Leader Barca, on Speaker Ryan's comments?
Well, it was interesting in the sense that he talked about how, you know, he spent the last 4 days to bring the party together, but obviously there was not that togetherness between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. So they're going to have their own challenges. Obviously, there were some deep wounds there, and I'm sure maybe Vice President Pence can play a role to bring them together, but they'll have challenges, make no mistake about it. You know, it's not a united Republican Party at this juncture. You had very important, significant, you know, Republicans in the country, like, you know, both former President Bushes, Governor John Kasich, one of the, you know, leading Republican governors of the country, and so many others that would not even support, much less endorse, but not even support Donald Trump. So there's some divisions there that'll be very interesting to and challenging for them to navigate. So it'll be interesting to watch in the weeks and months ahead.
Well, one thing's for sure is that President-elect Trump will have an opportunity that even Ronald Reagan never had, which was to have both houses of Congress controlled by his own party. And so now we're going to see.
Correct.
Now we're going to see.
That's correct.
The Republicans are going to have to put up or shut up.
Well, the onus is on them. Obviously, their intent is to repeal the Affordable Care Act. But what are they going to replace it with? Because it said that health care costs have gone up. We'll find out now. Hopefully, health care costs will come down under their administration. You know, he's going to build a wall. He's going to have Mexico pay for it. We'll find out whether or not they can accomplish that. He obviously plans on deporting a large number of people. So there's some real challenges here. But there's no more excuses either. Now it's to determine whether or not they can keep the kind of economic progress that President Obama put together. For the first time, wages are going up. Unemployment's at the lowest level it's been, I believe, in decades. I know the markets have not responded too positively at this point, but obviously I wish the incoming president well. I want him to be successful. We're all Americans first. And I'm just hoping and praying he'll rise to the occasion.
Well, we're still waiting for Secretary Clinton to give her concession speech in New York City.
She's coming in now on our television.
So please hold on with us, and then we'll get your comments after we hear Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton's concession speech after this dramatic loss yesterday to Donald J. Trump. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. We have the Democratic leader of the Wisconsin State Assembly, Peter Barca. We are waiting for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will have the great Tom Carco's news. And then coming up in the next segment, we will be speaking, and it's going to be an interesting segment, with our man, speaker, coach, author, Rick Jones from South Carolina. He wrote, of course, the tremendous book, Analog Advice in a Digital World, A Baby Boomer's Words of Wisdom for the Millennial Generation. And the millennials did not come out in as big a numbers as Secretary Clinton needed yesterday, nor did the African-American community. And in my former home state of Florida, the Latino community did not make up the difference. And once North Carolina and Florida went, and then Ohio, and then, of course, for the first time in 32 years, Wisconsin went Republican. Absolutely an incredible turn of events. The Republicans maintain control of the U.S. Senate. They maintain control of the House of Representatives. Now President-elect Trump is going to be able to nominate theoretically conservative judges to the Supreme Court. They are going to repeal and replace Obamacare. One of the first things I would think that would be on the agenda in that is allow insurance companies to compete over state lines. Theoretically, and as has done throughout history, competition drives down costs. We've seen costs and premiums go up dramatically, up to 114% in places like Arizona, 25% on average. I think this was a huge factor in the decision that the country made yesterday. I think another big thing that was a huge mistake by the Democrats was crying wolf over these many decades. When you talk about George W. Bush and John McCain and Mitt Romney, they made those men the boogeymen. They compared George W. Bush to Hitler. And obviously, George W. Bush was not a dictator. He was not a liar. Because if he would have lied to get us into war, why didn't he lie about weapons of mass destruction by putting them in there after the fact. We're still waiting for Secretary of State, the former Secretary Hillary Clinton, on her concession speech. We've got Democratic State Assembly Leader Peter Barca on the line. He's listening along with us, and then we'll get his comments after Secretary Clinton's concession speech. We already heard from the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and Paul Ryan was very complimentary of the President-elect Donald Trump. And there's no doubt about it that his coattails brought people over like Ron Johnson and many others. Pat Toomey, the incumbent senator from Pennsylvania, will return. This is why the Republicans will hold control of both houses of Congress. This is a monumental moment in the history of the country. Ronald Reagan did not have this opportunity. Barack Obama did with his party. And that they focused on, they made the decision to focus on the Affordable Care Act in Obama's first 2 years of his first term. And much to the chagrin of many people around the country, as we see premiums skyrocketing, medical costs going up, people losing their coverage, people not being able to keep their own doctors. This is not what he promised. And I think that both on the right with Trump and on the left with Bernie Sanders is the American people, a huge swath of them, are just tired of being lied to on both sides of the aisle. We're tired of having our intelligence insulted. When former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, said that we'll know what's in the Affordable Care Act after it's passed, that's an insult. When they show images when Paul Ryan was running for vice president with Mitt Romney of a Paul Ryan-like figure pushing an elderly woman in a wheelchair over a cliff, that is an insult to the American people. They made George W. Bush, John McCain, and Mitt Romney the devil. And last Friday night, Bill Maher, who is a significant voice on the liberal side of the political spectrum in this country, he did a mea culpa on his show Friday night. He said he was wrong, that the liberals were wrong to do that. But before he did make that apology, and this was a warning to the millennial generation, before he did that, he said that Donald Trump would be a fascist. And if Trump was elected, that it would be Donald Trump president for life. In other words, he cried wolf again before he apologized on behalf of himself and the liberal side of the American political spectrum for crying wolf on these other presidents and presidential candidates. This has to stop. And of course, on the Republican side, the groundswell for Trump during the primaries was that people like Paul Ryan and like Mitch McConnell in the Senate didn't do what they said they were going to do. They didn't hold President Obama's feet to the fire. Now, the fact of the matter is there's only so much they could do because he's the president. And if you only control the two houses of the Congress and not the White House, you can't do much because the president can veto anything that you do. But Paul Ryan made a very strong point when he just gave his remarks in Janesville that now there is a united Republican government about to take power on January 20th. That is going to be a dramatic moment in the history of this country. They are going to be able to do things that Ronald Reagan was never able to do. Ronald Reagan, who ran against government intrusion, never was able to reduce the size of the federal government. He never eliminated the Department of Education like he promised. The federal government grew under Ronald Wilson Reagan. The federal budget deficit grew under George W. Bush. We haven't had a budget in the time that Barack Obama has been president. We just have these continuing resolutions. We are still waiting for Secretary of State, the former Secretary Hillary Clinton. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. We will take a break and then be back with the Secretary's comments as she concedes the presidency to Donald J. Trump momentarily.
Strike gold this weekend with the Peebles One Big Sale. Take 50% off almost everything with your golden ticket. That's 50% off almost all shoes and boots, 50% off all fine and fashion jewelry, 50% off styles for the family, and more in store and online. Kick off your Christmas shopping in a big way. Go online or download our app to find your golden ticket. The One Big Sale all day Friday through Sunday at Peebles, part of our stage family. Exclusions apply.
Style inspired by you.
Tom Karkelwin, the WRJN News Center. Will vote on the pool project, will rest with the Burlington Council. They'll meet on the matter December the 6th. The next Racine County District Attorney is going to be longtime Assistant Patricia Hansen. She's the Republican on Tuesday's ballot. She defeated Assistant Kenosha County DA Thomas Binger, the Democrat. The final numbers didn't come in until after midnight. Hansen believing that the voters took into account her years of experience in the DA's office.
I think it's the fact that I have always been here. I know how things work in Racine County. I've been committed to the county for the last 21 years, and I have a vision for the future that I think people agree with, and I'm happy and proud to be able to continue to serve the people of Racine County.
TK, we are going to interrupt your potentially award-winning newscast because the Democrat vice presidential nominee, Senator Tim Kaine, is about to address the crowd, and then we will hear from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
My wife, Ann, and I are so proud of Hillary Clinton. I'm proud of Hillary Clinton because she has been and is a great history maker in everything she has done as a civil rights lawyer and First Lady of Arkansas and First Lady of this country and Senator and Secretary of State. She has made history in a nation that is good at so many things, but that has made it uniquely difficult for a woman to be elected to federal office. She became the first major party nominee as a woman to be president, and last night won the popular vote of Americans to be president. That is an amazing accomplishment. It is an amazing accomplishment. I'm proud of Hillary Clinton because, in the words of Langston Hughes, she's held fast to dreams. She was inspired at a young age to an epiphany that if families and children do well, that's the best barometer for whether a society does well. And in everything she's done, she's focused on that. We know she would have made history as a president in one sense, but we never have had a president who's made their whole career about the empowerment of families and children, and I was as excited about that in the Oval Office as I was excited to have my friend Hillary there and make history as the first woman president. I'm excited and proud of Hillary because she has built such a wonderful team. There's a beautiful and kind of comical parable in the New Testament about a vineyard owner who hires people to work and says, and I'm going to pay you this for a full day. Then he hires people at noon, and I'm going to pay you the same thing for the half day. Then he hires people 1 hour before, I'm going to pay you the same. And those who started early in the day said, hold on, you know, we don't like this, that you're treating everybody who came late just as well as you're treating us. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I've come to know so well about Hillary. The team that she has assembled over the years of people that are so deeply loyal to her because she's so deeply loyal to them is inspiring. But I've seen that same degree of loyalty and compassion and sensitivity extended to the most recent folks who have joined the team, the folks who came to the vineyard with just 1 hour to go. Her loyalty and compassion of Hillary and Bill to people, if you're with you, you're with you, and that is just something so remarkable. And finally, I'm proud of Hillary because she loves this country. Nobody Nobody had to wonder about Hillary Clinton, whether she would accept an outcome of an election in our beautiful democracy. Nobody had to ask that question. Nobody had to doubt it. She knows our country for what it is. She knows the system that we have, and in its warts and blemishes, she's deeply in love with it and accepts it. She's been in battles before where if it didn't go her way, she accepted it, but then woke up the next day and battled again for the dreams that she's held fast to. And that love of country is something that I think is obvious to everybody, obvious to everyone. I want to thank Hillary Clinton for asking Ann and I to join this wild ride. We, about a week before, she asked if I would be a running mate. Ann and I went up to Westchester, and we sat down with Hillary and Bill and with Chelsea and Mark and with Charlotte and Aiden for about 3 hours of conversation to try to determine whether we would be the right people to be on the ticket. And when we got in the car to head back to the airport after the three-hour discussion, I said to Ann, honey, I don't know whether we're going to be on this ticket or not, but I do know this. We're going to remember that 3 hours for the rest of our life. And now we'll remember 105 days that we've had with this fantastic couple of public servants and all of you for the rest of our life. I'll just say this. Hillary and I know well the wisdom and the words of William Faulkner. He said, they killed us, but they ain't whooped us yet. They killed us. But they ain't whooped us yet. Because we know that the work remains. We know that the dreams of empowering families and children remain. And in that work, that important work that we have to do as a nation, it is so comforting, even at a tough time, to know that Hillary Clinton is somebody until her very last breath is going to be battling for the values that make this nation great and the values that we care so deeply about. So now, please join me in welcoming Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Thank you so very much for being here. And I love you all, too. Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country. But I feel pride and gratitude for this wonderful campaign that we built together, this vast, diverse, creative, unruly, energized campaign. You represent the best of America, and being your candidate has been one of the greatest honors of my life. I know how disappointed you feel because I feel it too. And so do tens of millions of Americans who invested their hopes and dreams in this effort. This is painful, and it will be for a long time. But I want you to remember this. Our campaign was never about one person or even one election. It was about the country we love and about building an America that's hopeful, inclusive, and big-hearted. We have seen that our nation is more deeply divided than we thought. But I still believe in America, and I always will. And if you do, then we must accept this result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead. Our constitutional democracy enshrines the peaceful transfer of power. And we don't just respect that, we cherish it. It also enshrines other things: the rule of law, the principle that we are all equal in rights and dignity, freedom of worship and expression. We respect and cherish these values too, and we must defend them. Now, and let me add, our constitutional democracy demands our participation, not just every 4 years, but all the time. So let's do all we can to keep advancing the causes and values we all hold dear, making our economy work for everyone, not just those at the top, protecting our country and protecting our planet, and breaking down all the barriers that hold any American back from achieving their dreams. We've spent a year and a half bringing together millions of people from every corner of our country to say with one voice that we believe that the American dream is big enough for everyone, for people of all races and religions, for men and women, for immigrants, for LGBT people, and people with disabilities, for everyone. So now, our responsibility as citizens is to keep doing our part to build that better, stronger, fairer America we seek. And I know you will. I am so grateful to stand with all of you. I want to thank Tim Kaine and Ann Holton for being our partners on this journey. It has been a joy getting to know them better, and it gives me great hope and comfort to know that Tim will remain on the front lines of our democracy, representing Virginia in the Senate. To Barack and Michelle Obama, our country owes you an enormous debt of gratitude. We thank you for your graceful, determined leadership that has meant so much to so many Americans and people across the world. And to Bill and Chelsea, Mark, Charlotte, Aiden, our brothers and our entire family, my love for you means more than I can ever express. You crisscrossed this country on our behalf and lifted me up when I needed it most, even four-month-old Aiden, who traveled with his mom. I will always be grateful to the creative, talented, dedicated men and women at our headquarters in Brooklyn and across our country. poured your hearts into this campaign. For some of you who are veterans, it was a campaign after you had done other campaigns. Some of you, it was your first campaign. I want each of you to know that you were the best campaign anybody could have ever expected or wanted. And to the millions of volunteers, community leaders, activists, and union organizers who knocked on doors, talked to neighbors, posted on Facebook, even in secret private Facebook sites. I want everybody coming out from behind that and make sure your voices are heard going forward. To everyone who sent in contributions as small as $5 and kept us going, thank you. Thank you from all of us. And to the young people in particular, I hope you will hear this. I have, as Tim said, spent my entire adult life fighting for what I believe in. I've had successes and I've had setbacks, sometimes really painful ones. Many of you are at the beginning of your professional, public, and political careers. You will have successes and setbacks too. This loss hurts, but please never stop believing that fighting for what's right is worth it. We need you to keep up these fights now and for the rest of your lives. And to all the women, and especially the young women, who put their faith in this campaign and in me, I want you to know that nothing has made me prouder than to be your champion. I know we have still not shattered that highest and hardest glass ceiling, but someday someone will, and hopefully sooner than we might think right now. And to all the little girls who are watching this, never doubt that you are valuable and powerful and deserving of every chance and opportunity in the world to pursue and achieve your own dreams. Finally, I am so grateful for our country and for all it has given to me. I count my blessings every single day that I am an American. And I still believe, as deeply as I ever have, that if we stand together and work together with respect for our differences, strength in our convictions, and love for this nation, our best days are still ahead of us. Because you know, I believe we are stronger together and we will go forward together. And you should never, ever regret fighting for that. You know, Scripture tells us, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So, my friends, let us have faith in each other. Let us not grow weary. Let us not lose heart. For there are more seasons to come, and there is more work to do. I am incredibly honored and grateful to have had this chance to represent all of you in this consequential election. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Former Secretary of State and defeated Democratic nominee for president, Hillary Rodham Clinton. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. It is 6 minutes to 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and we are speaking with the Democratic leader of the Wisconsin State Assembly, Leader Peter Barca. What is it, Mr. Leader, when candidates are defeated that sometimes they rise to the occasion to such an extent that they deliver one of their finest speeches?
Well, it's interesting, obviously. She was very gracious, and I thought she hit all the right notes about bringing our country together and yet being proud to stand for certain principles and recognizing we are very divided, and that hopefully that won't remain. But good point. Yeah, probably was one of her best speeches, ironically.
I mean, I remember when Vice President Al Gore conceded to President-elect George W. Bush, that was one of his most gracious and finest speeches. I think in such a contentious campaign, and I made the case the other day on this radio station that this campaign actually was a good thing for the country because we saw a tremendous amount of participation. It revealed the underbelly and the ugliness that can sometimes arise in our society. And now we can do something about it. We had a very gracious acceptance speech last night from the president-elect. Secretary Clinton followed suit. Very optimistic discussion and words from Speaker Paul Ryan. So as a Democrat in our great state, what's your takeaway on this Wednesday morning?
Well, you know, the beauty of our great country is we do have a smooth transition of power, and you know, we're seeing it come alive here, and she gave a very hopeful speech, which I think is really good because I think there's so many people that just feel crushed. I mean, they put so much time and energy into it, and they believe so strongly in sort of that vision of inclusiveness and togetherness. And, but, you know, we'll begin a new administration January 20th. President Obama, I'm sure, will be equally gracious in helping the new president-elect with this transition, and the country will go on. And hopefully, as I started the segment, maybe I'll end it. I just hope and pray that our new president-elect will rise to the occasion and end up being a much more inclusive person that does try to really bring us together. His remarks last night, I thought, were very appropriate and gracious, and it was good to hear him make those points that he wanted to be a president for Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. And now begins that task, and we certainly wish him well.
Well, you have been so gracious with your time on a very tough day for you and your fellow Democrats, I know. And we'll speak again on a happier occasion for you and the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, I'm great being with you. Thank you for you know, keeping your listeners involved and informed, and it's very important. So thank you so much.
There he goes, Democratic Assembly Leader Peter Barca on WRJN. Wow.
The Home Depot is pouring more into paint